This podcast is part of the No Phony Podcast Network, the home of independent awesomeness.
Hey, Nick here with your weekly anecdote for Saturdays with Chicken Duck. Want to hear a dirty joke? Good. So a doe walks out of a bar and says, "Jesus, I can't believe I just blew $50. Have a nice week.
It's a shitty situation.
Happy 150th, everybody!
Take a deep breath. I don't like your attitude. Start over. Welcome back, everybody. Saturdays with Chicken Duck, episode 150. Full house this week, as you can tell. Joining us this week, Kevin Brett.
Hello.
Welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
Second time. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Ryan's here.
Hello.
On time, actually.
Was I?
Surprisingly enough, and not fully decked out head to toe in Raiders gear this week. Do you have a date?
No, why?
Well, you look... I don't know. Oh, you've been putting all kinds of sentimental stuff on Facebook lately, and I was just wondering. We have to talk.
That's
one of my bullet points. Make sure you put that down as a bullet point, because I want to talk about that.
Okay, you think that's real. All right. We can dive into that.
Ryan and Kim are joining us this week. We're going to talk a little bit about a fundraiser they're working on. Is there a name to the fundraiser that you want to get out there right now?
It's to benefit the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. So okay. It's our third annual fundraiser.
Excellent. So we're going to talk about that a little bit here. And then Casey's here.
Hello.
In his JTHS shirt.
Yes.
Very nice. My mom said, "Did you see Joel the tree surgeon in the paper?" She said, "Hair surgeon." She said, "Yeah." I said, "You said tree surgeon." Oh my God!
There are only 50 of these shirts made, so there's not many left.
There's a couple left. I'd imagine they're gonna get maybe go through another print.
I'm sure. Well, he does. I think one in January, one in June.
Or you can get the one with the chicken duck in the corner of it. That'll be coming up in a couple of months. When all the rest of them sell out. The reprint. This is the most I think we've had on the show in quite a while.
Yeah. So, before we get into anything with our guests, the reason we didn't record last week, do you want to hear the story of?
I don't really care. Go ahead.
To why we weren't here.
Go ahead. I'm sure something ridiculous happened, like somebody bothered you with a drone playing jukebox or something while you were trying to be on the beach. But go ahead.
No.
Where were you?
So I went to, I don't know if you know this, Kim, but I travel for work.
He actually just mentioned it when he parked the car.
So I usually leave on Monday mornings and then come home on Thursday. But 2 weeks ago, I left on Tuesday, and I was supposed to come home on Friday because of the weather in Denver. There was a lot of snow there. And there was a lot of weather in Washington State where I went to do my job. I only got one job done. Flew back to Denver on Friday, no problems. And then my flight in Denver.
Who were you flying with?
United.
Oh. United.
United.
So Mr. American was nowhere to be found. Phone calls could be made. No.
Right.
You know who the fuck I am? None of that. Huh?
Right there is the start of an issue.
Yeah. So Casey travels enough that he thinks that he has clout when he goes.
I do have clout.
Okay, well, not when you're with United. So continue your story.
What do we call it? Executive status asshole or something?
I think that's what I call my husband.
She ain't lying, so...
My flight in Denver to Philadelphia on Friday kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed, and I think it was getting pushed until like 5 o'clock, so I wouldn't have gotten home until real late Friday night. So Barbara and I talked, and she said, "Well, why don't you just make plans to go and do your jobs in Phoenix this week, this weekend, and then just come home.
Is that always an option? I was surprised when you told me that that was what you were doing.
I think so, yeah, because I talked to him after that, and I was like, why haven't I been doing this for the last three years?
Well, I'm over here, and like, I don't feel like coming back on a Thursday.
Yeah, because there's times where I come home on Thursday, and I'm home, and then I have to fly all the way back to the same place,
you're
like in California.
Home Depot, you were at yesterday.
So I said, all right, I'll see if I can get my bag back from United, and because my bag was already checked to go to Philadelphia on the United flight. So I talked to the customer service, and United, they said, sure, no problem, that they would get my bag just to go wait at Carousel 15. So I was waiting at Carousel 15.
That's their way to say, watch this.
Yeah.
Bunch of them were sitting there watching the CCTV going, there he goes. There is no Carousel 15.
So I go to Carousel 15, and I'm waiting, and I waited for about 2 hours, and I go and I ask somebody at the counter, which she yelled at me because apparently she had just gotten back from break and wasn't signed into the computer yet, and made me take like 3 steps back to stand behind the sign that says, please wait here.
You waited 2 hours?
Yeah. So
it's okay. Vu waits 3 hours at Applebee's. So... You're in mixed company.
It's kind of a tradition now.
Okay. So I go and this lady.
First of all, the woman at the counter is baiting you to go to jail. You understand that, right? Like she's saying, okay, you've been waiting. I've seen you waiting over there at Carousel 15, and I just got back from my break. Step back to the white line.
Yeah, it was
hoping that your vein pops out of the side of your neck.
3 feet back.
Yeah, you're going to jump
there
over
were three,
the counter.
There were three people at the counter.
Employees,
I could employees, yeah. Oh. I could see that the two were on the ends were like busy on their computers, and she was just standing there. So I walked up to her. She said, "Sir, I just got back from break. Could you please take a step back behind the sign, and then I'll call you up." So I wait there. She calls me up, and I say, "I'm waiting on Carousel 15 for my bag."
Sir, I don't like your attitude.
That they said would be there. That they pulled from the plane.
Sir. Take a deep breath. I don't like your attitude. Start over, please.
And she said, that could take hours.
What?
So I go and I wait another hour at Carousel 15.
You could have eaten the whole dinner at Applebee's.
Yeah.
At least the appetizers, least, anyway.
You would have at least made your order by now.
Yeah.
You know that, Jim, you think a guy who's a stickler for the rules would stand behind the line in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Absolutely.
This is true. You have a point.
Only a person that adheres to the rules would wait 3 hours without going ballistic.
Yes.
And killing everybody else at the counter anyway. Like, oh, man. I can't believe you go from one end of, you know, they roll out a carpet for you and play a band when you come aboard an airplane, all the way to,
that's,
you know,
United,
the other end.
I don't have any status with United.
Just a regular old pedestrian.
So everything worked out, though. When your bag was right where you needed it when you got to where, so, right, you flash, move forward through the story. You got to where you needed
to be. In other
words,
bag was
hurry there,
up.
Everything was good, right?
No.
That's what happened, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
So I go and I ask someone else after waiting another hour for my bag at Carousel 15.
Three hours in.
I go and show this guy the ticket number. And I said, hey, the lady over there at that customer service said that it could take a few hours. I've been waiting a few hours. Could you check on the slip, you know, because I have
he
the...
He took your ticket and said, oh, yeah, sir, that's right here.
No, he didn't, Ryan. He said,
"Been waiting for you, Mr.
He said,
"We've been waiting for you for 2 hours."
Oh, that's on its way to Philadelphia.
Yeah, that could take a couple hours for you.
I said, "The flight to Philadelphia isn't leaving until 5 o'clock. It's now like noon.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they get my bag? Because they already loaded it on the plane, sir. It's
and
already
once
been scanned.
You load something, I want to make it very clear right now to everybody. Once it's loaded on the plane, they will never, ever, ever unload it. Keep going.
Oh, did you ever see how they load them?
Yeah.
All right, that's
violently,
why.
If nothing else. Yeah. But just keep I want everybody to remember, not getting unloaded.
So I already had my flight booked to Phoenix because the United told me that they would get my bag. So I go to, I have a hotel then to stay in Denver for the night because my flight to Phoenix then got canceled until the next morning. So I have no clothes because United has my bag that's on its way to Philadelphia. So I go to Walmart, buy like new underwear, a couple new shirts, get a new little suitcase. Little one.
I was just going to ask a question. You said you travel for work.
Mm-hmm.
I've traveled like 4 times in my life. I hate to fly. Isn't rule number one like bring a bag or a small carry-on with like a toothbrush, underwear, toiletries in case your bag is lost?
Well, thing is carry-on.
In my carry-on, I have a lot of like work equipment.
But you couldn't throw some underwear in there and like a toothbrush?
Well, when you have executive status, yeah. You don't expect these problems to arise.
Like you literally get underwhere anywhere.
He'll just call the president of America.
It's not like he's going resolved. Anywhere that does. Like, it's not like you're going to like Panama, where they may or may not have running water. And, you know, so
yeah, and most. I mean, I always stay at a hotel where they always have those.
Sorry to the Panamanian.
There goes population.
Central America, one at a time.
So you can usually get all that stuff pretty easy. I've never had to worry about it in 3 years. 3 years of travel. February 13th was my 3 year.
So,
anniversary, by the way. My flight to Phoenix, no problems in the morning. Well, actually, I had to wait a little bit because it was still snowing in Denver. Get to Phoenix. I'm on my way to my first job in Phoenix, which is 3 hours from the airport, and I get a phone call from Debbie at United in Denver.
They have your bag.
Hi, this is Debbie with United. I'm here in Denver. I'm sitting next to your bag here.
I can just envision Debbie riding around Carousel 15 all night long. Here we go. Just riding around.
I've been riding around.
So, I was not too happy.
Well, shit, Debbie.
I said, you know, Debbie, they told me that that was on its way to Philadelphia. Oh, no, they pulled that last night.
Off the plane that they said they would not pull the luggage off of.
So the guy at the customer service that checked that bag number never made a call or anything. He just saw that it was scanned onto the plane and never like double-checked. I said, well, they said that they were going to pull it. He's like, well, they scanned it and they must not have gotten to it in time.
Oh, hold on. Let me check that for you.
That guy was about to go on break.
That's it.
Yeah. So Debbie then, I have to thank Debbie from United because she sent my bag to Philadelphia and I picked it up Monday morning when I got there.
That was nice of her.
6:30 a.m.
Are they going to reimburse you for all of the underwear that you bought?
I doubt it.
I bought really nice underwear. I'd really like to be reimbursed for them.
I doubt it. And then after all that shit, I get to my second job in Arizona, which was 4 hours from the first job. And the guy doesn't want to let me on the roof because I don't have a work order.
What do you need a work order for? Aren't you just inspecting it?
Yeah, exactly. I said, listen, Isaac, I've never had...
As you see, the work is complete because you have a roof.
Yeah, and I have... Yeah, okay. I inspect roofs. And I had, like, the map of... Or the drawing of his roof and, like, the inspection sheet and all
anybody
that shit.
Anybody would have it. You can download that for
I had to call Mike's May. Remember Mike's May was here? On Sunday... And he had to talk this guy into letting me onto the roof.
Work order.
No, there are no work orders for these. They're 2 year inspections.
How do you ever get on a roof without a work order?
I do have work orders for several.
Who else is going around going up on Home Depot roofs in the middle of fucking February?
I do have work orders for several jobs, but for these 2 year inspections, we don't have them. It's just not. They're included in like the original work order. Work order.
To show your American Airlines badge.
Executive Platinum.
Sir, I'm executive Platinum. You're going to let me on this roof right now. I can fly from there if I need to.
I've never ever seen Criminal Minds. He just wears it on his hip.
Pulls his coat to the side.
Like, oh, whoa. That's it. That's all you got.
Yep. So that's why I was. That's why we didn't record last week. We weren't here.
You were. I was flying around without underwear.
Yep. Well, I had underwear. There was only a short period of time when I didn't have underwear.
But you actually had underwear. I mean, you were wearing it. They didn't take your underwear from you and get you from one plane to another and then lose your all the rest of your underwear. Give us your underwear before we lose the rest of it. No. Fucking United Airlines. You guys got to get your shit together. Take it, my buddies. Yeah.
No.
So,
and everything. Skibbies. And everything was still in my bag when I got to when I got to Philadelphia.
Yeah, Debbie was probably only one.
They checked it three times. They checked my luggage. That bag that was traveling this way and that.
Like open it up and.
Yeah, there were three. You know, I don't know if you guys ever got them. They're like it says that they checked your bag.
Yeah.
The TSA. There were three of them in there.
No, I don't really ever carry anything with.
That happens to me often.
Shove it in the overhead bin.
That happens to you often, Ryan, on the times that you've never flown.
Yes, that's right.
In your life.
It's very true.
That's been
at least seven times.
Good.
Well, nothing. You didn't miss anything.
No?
No.
We missed a week of chicken duck.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything. So.
All right.
Joel the hair surgeon in the paper today.
Yes. Last two, 3 weeks ago now.
Whoa.
2 weeks ago.
What? Well, this is going to be... Oh, man.
Timeline gets more and more confusing every time I'm here.
Seriously, it's like a Rick and Morty episode. I don't understand it at all. It's like Inception.
Yes, right. Joel was on the cover of the page paper today.
Cover of the page. Good for Joel. Good stuff. Guys, tell us about the fundraiser. We're going to start that way. We're going to go.
That's fine.
If you're all right. Just, you know, stand up and scream at me if you got a problem.
Give kind of like a background.
Yeah, so I'll try to make it short. 9 years ago.
Make it as. We got all the time in the world. It's not. We're not live. You got all the time in the world.
I don't know.
Yeah, and if you're boring, we'll just cut you the fuck out.
So. Listen, I've had enough of you today, and I don't even think it's not even 12:30. Okay. About 9 years ago, I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. So for those that don't know, it's an irritable bowel disease. It's usually linked with Crohn's and colitis are the two you might hear about frequently. I think right after I graduated college, took about 6 months to be diagnosed. I think you were with me right when I got diagnosed. I think we started dating right around the time. And basically causes severe pain, abdominal inflammation, bleeding, just like uncontrollable diarrhea, not being able to control your bowels. It's horrible. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. So I've been dealing with that for 9 years, and I've been on and off just a variety of medications. They would work, they won't work, end up on a round of steroids, and nothing seemed to be treating it. There's no known cure, so you just have to kind of treat the symptoms and hope you can get into remission. So after my son was born about 3 years ago, my colitis really flared up, and it just hasn't been right ever since. I've pretty much been a walking disaster, as I tell my husband. And I talked to my doctor. We talked about what medications were left and kind of exhausted all of those options. So talked to Ryan, and we made the decision that I would have surgery. And about 3 months now, right?
November.
Back in November on the 15th, I actually had my entire large intestine removed. So I'm currently living with an ostomy bag, which is basically where they remove my large intestine, and then they pull my small intestine through my stomach. And basically that's how I use the bathroom, in a bag now instead of on the toilet. And it's temporary or permanent. I don't really know what the future holds. So due to that, I am actually off all of my medications, no steroids.
That's awesome.
Feeling overall pretty good, just kind of recovering from surgery. I went back right before the new year to work. So I think it was the right decision, but it's been a long and tough road. There's been many a times I've been in the hospital. I've been curled up on the bathroom floor crying. Ryan's picked me up and cussed at me and told me to put my effing shoes on.
I threw your shoes at you. You can say it. I threw your shoes at you and said, let's go.
I was in so much pain and I refused to go.
And of course, when we got there, it was when Ebola was the big thing. So we got rushed right in. And were we in Africa and all this shit?
Oh, yeah.
So.
They wanted to know if I'd been over like traveling, that I was having diarrhea. And I was like screaming at the nurse, no, I have effing UC. Like, it's just not, I'm not, I don't have Ebola. But it's been a long time. So about 3, I guess it was right before our son was born.
Yeah.
Ryan had the idea that maybe we should start a fundraiser, and all the funds would go to the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. So I'll just tell them about what the foundation does, and you can tell them about our fundraiser.
Sounds good.
So the foundation is actually pretty awesome. They're a nonprofit, and they do so much. It's basically they have volunteers. They do a camp for kids over the summer that have IBD. They provide advocate programs, teaching and trainings for hospitals, doctors, even patients. And they actually have local chapters. So they have support groups you can go talk to. You can find out, like, doctors in your area. They're just a phenomenal organization. I've been working with them for a couple years. So we reached out to them, and Ryan decided we should host a fundraiser and try to spread awareness, because a lot of people don't even know what colitis or Crohn's is. I forget the statistic, but there's probably more people than you know living even with an ostomy bag that you're not even aware of. So for our fundraiser.
Yeah, well, pretty much it didn't even really start as a fundraiser. The whole concept came from with doing the DJing and stuff. I was like, I wonder if we could rent a hall, charge a cover, and just throw like a party. And then it became, well, if we do this, maybe we should donate to charity, and we could do a different charity every so often. And then when her and I talked about everything, I was like, well, this is a charity that's kind of near and dear to us. So what if we just did this and we charged, I think we charged a $20 cover the first year. And then it was, you buy your own food and drinks there. You know, it was just whatever was made at the door and on the raffles and stuff, we'd donate. And I think the first year we raised over like $2,000 roundabout.
Yep.
And it was like, well, that's good. And then we were talking to some people, and we're like, if we up it to $25, we could include free beer and soda, and you still buy your own food and stuff. Well, entices people to come because, hey, it's free beer.
Yeah.
You know, it's a key demographic.
It's Berks County.
Yeah, it's Berks County, exactly. But it came from that, so we just started, you know, doing $25 at the door or tickets in advance, and then we raised over like $3,000 the second year. So it improved, and we were hoping more and more. Like the first year we did it, I just threw a couple of mixes together and kind of just played background music while people kind of just hung out. And then last year we had a country cover band, Branded, from up in the Hamburg area, came and donated their time and did two sets of music for us, which was a nice little thing. And then this year we have Cooler Full of Beer, which is a local cover band, more like rock and pop type stuff, I think. So hopefully that'll draw some people in too, you know, just to see the band. They're donating their time. We're greatly appreciative of it. So, I mean, we usually do have the fundraiser in November. Obviously, with her having the surgery in November, it got pushed off to March this year. So, but there's all kinds of stuff. Like I said, there'll be food for purchase, raffles, beer and sodas included in the tickets. I'll give you the link to the donation site, because it's a bunch of letters and numbers that I really don't want to read off. So
yeah, no, I'll post it really.
But yeah, we got some really cool raffles from local businesses and stuff.
It'll go right here.
Yeah, yep. Right above our heads. Somewhere. Perfect.
Click that link.
Kevin's going to have a box of his own face right over his face.
That's how we've been doing it.
Nice.
Lately.
Yeah, I saw that with Dan when Danny was on. I saw that it was like Danny's face over Danny's face. So.
I've been vetoing more than I've been approving lately. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, but we got a ton of local stuff like donated to us, like local businesses, like Margarita's donated some gift cards, awesome. Shirley's, Liberty Tap Room, Dario over at Old Penn Ave Tattoos donating a gift card, stuff like that. Diamond Credit Union gave us two tickets to the Flyers for a game, so that's going to be something we're raffling off. We have Royals tickets. We'll likely have Reading Phillies tickets. I guess they're the Fightins now, whatever they're called now. But
we knew what you meant.
Yeah. All kinds of stuff. Like, I mean, just a bunch of stuff that people can put a little extra money in, like put some raffle tickets in, and it's a Chinese auction, so if your ticket gets pulled, you won. There's no bidding or anything. But
what's a chicken duck shirt go for these days?
$20.
So like 10 of them?
You don't have anything of good value,
so we're going to have to give you a lot of whatever.
Believe me, people have donated stuff. We had stuff from, and I think we have it this year again, like Muhlenberg's athletic department donated like a Muhlenberg athletic shirt or something. Right. You know? And people put tickets in on it.
We had someone go to, I think your mom did it, and someone else went to like the dollar store and created like a kitchen basket or a cleaning basket with like kitchen towels. And I mean, it's free, so people win it. But I don't even know what else we have. We just have even like local vendors, like I think the essential oils and like different
stuff like that, Tupperware, like that kind of stuff.
Where's the actual event at?
It'll be at Temple Fire Company in the banquet hall.
Nice.
So we obviously, with my dad being the president there, we kind of get the in the in on the location. Yeah, so it helps.
Saturday, March 7th.
Yes, 5:30 to 10. Yep.
So if you can buy in advance, we'd appreciate tickets in advance if you're interested. If not, we will have someone at the door.
Cool.
But like we said, all proceeds for the event go to the foundation because we really want to get the word out. And it's something that means a lot to us. And they've been grateful. I'm grateful for them. And they've been super helpful in the past 9 years. And it's a hard road to travel by yourself. He's been dealing with my shit for 9 years, but
literally and figuratively. Yes. So,
but it's nice that you have no idea.
I believe you all.
He's not joking.
I believe you.
He's not joking. It's a shitty situation, but yeah.
Can I say what, like,
you, Johnny? Yeah.
No. My text to you earlier, I said, "Who's coming on the show today?" And he said, Ryan McWilliams and Kevin. And I said, "Oh, cool." He's like, "What's Ryan got to talk about?" And he said something about the Crohn's Foundation. And all my response was, "Well, that's shitty." Yeah.
It's pretty much a running joke in our house.
It
so.
Is. And it's after the first couple of years, you kind of
you have to deal with it.
You have to have a sense of humor about it.
I mean, there are days where I've cried and I've broken down. I've had rough days
it's
at work.
It's terrible that you have,
you know,
have
it's
to deal
awful,
with it.
And I've asked why me. Sure. And, but, you know, it's made me who I am. And as much as I want to punch him, he does have a great sense of humor. And my parents, you know, just my whole entire family, his family has been wonderful. They all kind of pushed me. I kind of knew I wanted the surgery, but they were kind of like the extra push I needed.
Sure.
Just to live a better quality of life. And it is. You just have to have a sense of humor because, I mean, no one wants to talk about poop.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So with I have a 2-year-old now. It seems like it comes up a lot more frequently now than it had.
Yeah. Mine keeps asking, my 3-year-old keeps asking me when I'm going to stop pooping in the bag.
it gets better, Jim, as they get a little older.
It really does.
So after the surgery and everything, now did that make you feel a lot better? Like, was your health?
Yes, I would.
She doesn't take any medication anymore. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, it is huge.
I can't imagine steroids and all the other stuff you were taking made you feel fucking good.
No.
It just made you stop.
The past couple months, I was a disaster. It was the highest dose of steroids I was ever on, and I was, a walking nightmare.
Sure.
I wasn't sleeping. I was overeating. I'm sure I had roid rage.
I'm used to you yelling at me anyway.
Yeah.
So.
I have just kind of like the pains from surgery. It's a massive surgery, even though it was all laparoscopic, which was really neat. But I would 1,000% do it again.
She did have a setback where she ended up back in the hospital at Reading like 2 weeks after the surgery for internal bleeding. They went through just to make sure that like one of their fears was like, did they nick something like an internal organ? Because they have to cut the intestine.
There's a lot going on down there.
Yeah. But everything came up well. She spent, 3 or 4 days in the hospital just for basically for observation, just to make sure nothing that it stopped.
I was only out of work for 6 weeks. But
surgery was in Reading?
No, I went down to the University of Penn in Philadelphia. Which they're fabulous. Yeah. But yeah, I would do it again in a heartbeat. I actually wanted to get it done a couple of years ago, and my doctor wasn't going to stop me. He said I could, but he wanted to see if there was other medications. And then after this past year, I just talked to everybody. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of being miserable and the side effects from the medications. And I think 1 month I came home crying to him because I'd spent like $300 at the pharmacy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where does that money come from? You know, I have a toddler to take care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I feel good. There's a couple of minor things here and there. It's a new normal, but I mean, honestly, it doesn't really bother me at all. I don't even think about it.
Sure.
My coworkers are fabulous. Mm-hmm. I don't think it bothers you. You don't say much.
Well,
doesn't matter.
Mention it. No,
it doesn't matter.
No. I mean, I don't care. But yeah, no.
We don't care if it bothers you.
No.
Yeah, we actually a good friend of the show. He had diverticulitis, they had to do major surgery on him. It was pretty extreme, and he had a bag for quite a while, and he actually just had it removed last week. So I don't know if you knew that.
I did.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
I was thinking in my head if they call it removed when it was added to.
What I was going to ask, do you know if they reconnected it or if they did like a.
That I haven't
seen. That was kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Well, see, her thing is like with her first, this is like, I think they said it's a 3-stage.
If you go all the way through, it's three different surgeries.
So.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I currently have the bag. And then they would go in and maneuver my small intestine around and create like a pouch. And then that stays like that for a couple months, and then I can have the third procedure, which is where they would reconnect the small intestine that's sticking out of my stomach down to my rectum, and then I could essentially use the bathroom like normal people again.
Sure.
But I don't really know.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of surgery. It's I mean, recovery was a lot harder than I anticipated. I was very naive to how painful it would hurt.
I can't imagine it was.
I.
Pleasure. I think no, there's what, a whole lot
I
of things
going on.
I think
it was more
on.
Like
at
I.
At the same time. You know?
She told me, you know, it was laparoscopic. I have one.
What
main,
does that mean? What,
oh, I'm sorry. Not, laparoscopic means.
I know what it means.
Tiny little, tiny little.
It's not an open. They didn't cut
it's
me.
It's not
open.
An open surgery.
I yeah. honestly, God, I don't know what yeah. it means. I just don't.
It's
like,
not an open surgery.
I had arthroscopic surgery.
Same thing.
It's kind of the same.
Okay.
Arthur did that.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Scopically.
Arthur was at your is your surgeon. Yeah. That was the difference.
No, I have like 5 incisions, I think, that are like less than an inch.
Oh, that's it.
And then like a lower incision looks like a C-section, which okay. is kind of where they pulled everything out. But the surgeon told me, like, nope, legit. I watched it on YouTube. That's what happened.
I believe you.
No, but
well, I know the scar on John's scar is like.
So yeah, it's, so that's probably he had yeah. probably had an open, which yeah. is I hopefully if I choose to move forward, I wouldn't have to have that. They attempt to do it laparoscopically, so you don't have a lot of scarring and
good
a lot
Lord.
Of stuff. But because of that, she told me I wouldn't really have any pain other than at the incision site. So I was like, cool. That's a lie.
Yeah. I can't so imagine that's true. Like,
no, I mean,
my God. Let me burn around in the inside of you with a laser for a little while.
Yeah, I felt like I'd been
cut
hit
some
by
stuff
a bus
out.
And then backed up over by the same bus a few times.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't walk. I couldn't get out of bed. It was rough. A couple
yeah.
weeks. But
yeah, the surgery itself was a long process, yeah. too. Like, we were supposed to be there at, like, 10:30 in the morning or something like that. And we got there a little before 10, actually. And they took her right back and got her into, like, a prep room, waiting
sure.
room, blah. And then at like 1 o'clock, they're like, all right, we're going to start taking you over to the OR. And I left. I went to a bar and got a cheesesteak and a beer for a second because
mind you,
there was
mind
nothing
you,
I could do.
When we had our child,
I went, for, I went for pizza.
Because
so.
I
did the same shit.
Yeah.
The exact same thing.
Yeah. He was
we were
like,
at
I'm
Reading
gonna...
Hospital. And
I walked
on my
up
way
to, I walked up
to
Georgia.
When my son was like, hey, Rick, here we go.
He's like, is this
was...
going to be a while? And he's like, oh, pizza.
With the kid's birth, I was at work. She called me. I went home, stopped, let the dog out, fed the dog, ran over to the hospital. And they're like, oh, she's only like 3 centimeters. I'm like, well, shit, I'm going for food then. So I walked up to Giorgio's and got myself 2 slices of pizza and walked back. I think I walked around playing Pokemon Go for a little. So.
But, listen, you're not married, right?
No. I have a girlfriend.
Okay, let me just tell you something.
It's Jim's aunt, in case you're so
you
just
can
not confused about that. So.
Let me just give you a word of advice. Going for food, not the end of the world. I was like, okay. Like he said, it was a long birth. It was like 21 hours.
And I was going 45 minutes top.
But when you come back and tell me that you were out getting pizza, I can't eat. I'm however long into labor and
it's
that you're out playing
yourself.
Pokemon
yeah.
Go.
Yeah, you don't say
yeah, you
those things.
Probably
should have
kept
yeah.
that stuff to yourself.
Probably should have been like, I just went down to the cafeteria and had their terrible hospital food, you know?
Yeah, like I couldn't even have ice chips.
And do you really like Giorgio's pizza too?
I mean, I'm sure I would have at that time. I hadn't eaten in how many hours.
But no, back to her surgery. Like, I went out and went up, and her dad went with me. We went up, got a cheesesteak and a beer and sat there
don't
for him. Because we knew,
this.
Well, he was with me, so. He didn't drink, I did, so. But I had nerves too, so. But we walk back and I look on they have like computer screens everywhere that show you like where you look up the, like it's the first 3 digits of their last name and then their first initial and it kind of shows you where they are and what time they started.
Right.
And it's like she went to the OR at 2 o'clock, but then there's no surgery start time and it's like 4 o'clock by now. So I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I go up to the nurse. I'm like, you know, did they? She goes, oh, I'm sure they just forgot to start the timer. I'll walk down. So she comes back. She's like, oh no, they didn't start yet. So she's been out since like 2 o'clock. So when she finally got through, they finally got done at like 8 o'clock at night.
Oh, my God.
So we spent like 10 hours in the hospital before her surgery was completed. So they come down and get me, and they're like, you can go up and see her for like 5 minutes in the recovery room, and then you have to come back down. I had to go up some special elevator that needed like the badges and shit to get up there. And she's like, what time is it? I'm like, 8 o'clock. She goes, at night? I'm like, no, the next morning, you know. But I'm like, yeah. So I didn't actually get out of there till I think it was like almost 10:30 at night
yeah.
till we finally left.
That's
we spent
long.
Like yeah, half man. A day there, and then I spent the next like week going back and forth to Philly every day. And
but they're wonderful. If anybody needs surgery, I highly recommend Penn. My stay was top-notch there.
Great.
But, yeah. So
maybe you get them take a look at your issue.
This might be the most serious topic ever on this show.
Yeah, probably.
I know. Like, I keep waiting about. Yeah, yes, but absolutely. I keep waiting for them to ask me something like you do about like the bag or poop. I don't care. Really, I don't care.
I know all
about
it just because
I'm
of our
totally
friend,
fucking
though.
Grossed out by all that shit. Not yours.
Are you really?
Like, just my okay. My mom is like an emergency room nurse, so like the whole I've been exposed to like the most disgusting stories and like horrendous shit. I could handle it. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, I have a kid that sprays shit all over the place.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like once that happens, it's over. Like I don't care. It's just one of those things.
Not like, but I mean, like surgical.
Like, I've been
questions.
Working on a plumbing issue in my own house, and it's like, God, I don't even want to do it. Like,
I just did that a couple weeks ago.
So fucking grossed out by the whole thing, and it's not even just like poop. It doesn't.
No,
like
I didn't
poop
mean like gross,
me
but like, I don't know. Like one of the questions we came up with before surgery was we wanted to know if I could fart after surgery.
Right. Well.
I cannot. Nothing's connected down
there. I wouldn't expect you to be able to.
But, I mean,
that's a great question,
right?
Actually. I would have never thought of that.
I was trying to lighten the mood. So.
Maybe I think you scared Kevin away.
I hope he's going to that bathroom and not upstairs.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think he is. That's probably why he closed up.
You might be working on another plumbing issue.
It's all disconnected, so we'll all know very soon.
Oh, no.
oh man. Boy. Yeah, I know. I know about it because of our friend that recently had the surgery, and yeah, it doesn't look like it's any fun at all.
No, and even like I said to him, other than the recovery aspect and the pain, I still have some minor back pain. You know, I'm not eating a whole lot all that stuff. But you know, at one point before surgery, I was spending 2 hours every morning in the bathroom.
I was gonna say like that part, like the whole. I can't imagine.
Yeah, no.
You have the same kind of stomach issues and pain and like.
No, right. I mean, the first time after surgery when I was actually feeling good and like
did
not.
You use this one, right?
In pain.
After I realized
the upstairs one is fine. It's just
this one I realized that once I
the water's off.
Yeah.
touch and go here at the Adam household. The old studio.
That was part of my. That comes on sudden. That's part of my. But that's nothing compared to what. You're dealing.
Mm-mm. To each their own, man. Like I said, I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
We're gonna get
I'm
to
sure
that in a minute,
friend.
Kevin.
Diverticulitis is no joke either. I know people with that, so yeah. I can't imagine.
So what were? How did you? Like, what were the symptoms? Like, how did you realize that you?
So it started. Like I said, I didn't get diagnosed until October, right after I graduated college. So up until that point, like that year, I had like.
What did you say? 9 years? 10 years
yes,
ago?
Yes, 9 years. Yeah.
So before 9 years without before the surgery between not diagnosis.
Yeah, because unfortunately,
damn,
they. It's not a negative thing, but they think that it's like the end option, which it really shouldn't be. Which is why the foundation always is like, if that's your option, you should have surgery.
Well, it's probably more of a social stigma than anything, right?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
In their eyes, they're probably thinking.
I'm young.
I was
so going to
say,
like,
you can't be more than like,
you know,
your early 30s.
I'm not someone who's in their 50s.
Like lining up to say, hey, sure, you know, I don't ever want to poop again. Give me.
But when you've been dealing with it for 9 years, and like I said, I wanted it before my son was born. And the doctor was like, well, I'm not going to stop you, but I think we have other options. And I kind of wish I would have.
Well, he was wrong.
He's been a fabulous doctor, though, from day one, so I won't. Bash him on your podcast here.
Yeah, she kicked
me. We'll wait till you leave. I have his name written down.
She actually kicked me out of the hospital one time when she was in the ER because I was literally going to fight him when he came down. And she's like, you need to go.
I've been in a very bad spot against doctors in the emergency room as well. It never goes well.
Doctor in this area?
Yeah.
No, he's actually a really good doctor. I mean, in that time with her being in so much pain,
he's
like,
fabulous.
You know, need to fix this now. I'm sick of going through all these medication change here. Try this, try that, and nothing. That's why I was like, I was really pissed off that day with everything going on.
I had a meltdown and yelled at, I don't know, half of the nursing staff in the NICU or the ICU at Reading Hospital one morning. And then we got medevac to Hershey. That was that.
But when she had her crazy. When she had her setback with the thing in November, we went to visit her, and they didn't tell me. They're like, oh, yeah, you can go up. Go right on up. And I brought the kid with. You can't have a kid in the ICU. And this lady's like, you can't bring him in here. I'm like, I'll fucking leave, you know? Like, right. Fine. Just yeah. don't get, you don't have to get an attitude. Yeah, I mean, Jesus.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Come over here and watch it then, bitch.
It's freaking Thanksgiving. My kid wants to see his mother. Jesus Christ, you know?
Yeah. That lady's an asshole. What? What's her name?
That I don't sucks. Remember her name, but all I was you, like, that bitch.
I am in a hospital, can't have anything to eat in the ICU on Thanksgiving Day, and nothing's on but fucking football. And the Macy's parade.
That's awful.
But yeah,
just
I just
the thought
started...
of Thanksgiving and not being able to
right?
eat.
Right? Not even like
that meal.
Not even
that
ice makes chips, me wanna cry.
Man. It's my favorite meal.
But yeah, I just I don't know. I started just upset stomach here and there. I started getting really bad stomach cramps, more and more diarrhea, and it was just kind of like nothing was causing it that I could tell. It wasn't like I went out to eat and had something. I'm not a big drinker. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I didn't have any known allergies. And then it progressed worse and worse till I was bleeding. And then I was like, all right, well, that's probably not a good sign.
Yeah.
So I told my mom and she's like, yeah, you need to see somebody. So thankfully, 6 months sounds like a long time to be diagnosed from when I first had major symptoms, but a lot of people go years. So I'm very thankful it was only 6 months. But they initially thought it was hemorrhoids, gave me stuff for that, went back. It's not that. Had to go to another doctor. He said I had a form of colitis, but it's like, I don't know, only relegated to a smaller area. And that's all he did. And he gave me something else. And I was like dying. And I was like, something's wrong. Like, I'm in pain. I've been rushed to the hospital. I'm lying on my bathroom floor. Like, so I ended up going back. And then before I even had a colonoscopy or anything, my doctor who we're talking about, I went over my symptoms and he's like, you have ulcerative colitis. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, you have ulcerative colitis, but I'm going to confirm it with a colonoscopy. I had my first colonoscopy in 2010 in October, but it was
like, what, 21 20s? Holy
21
shit.
Yeah, so basically it was just the bloody diarrhea, urgency, running to the bathroom, comes with like not having a being able to control it, so you don't really know. So my entire life has been pain, or wherever we go, I'm kind of like, okay, well, if we're going to
go to the bathroom,
that's fine. Where's the bathroom?
Right.
And it's just like those stupid commercials you see on TV. Yeah. If you've seen them where the people are wandering around, they're looking for the bathroom. That's my life. Everywhere I go, I mean, I can tell you, I work toward Philly and I know where every Wawa is on 422 and how long it takes me to get there.
It was really fun driving 12 hours to Nashville with her.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So yeah, just bleeding, severe pain. It was awful. And then we're just kind of like, something's up.
Yeah.
And it kind of came out of nowhere. I think I've had something going on all my entire life. I've always been the one kid that was like, had the stomach flu, I was nauseous. I was always more susceptible to like nervous tummy when everybody else is being like fine.
So is it something that's been with you since like forever, or is it
I personally
progressively
believe
gotten worse, or
I personally believe I've had it most of my entire life, and it just wasn't diagnosed, and it didn't cause any issues until I was an adult, which is usually what happens. Most people are diagnosed as
just
an adult.
Pass it off as.
Wasn't having bleeding, or it was just occasional stomach flu symptoms, and then the bleeding and not being able to control my bowels is what was kind of like, something's wrong.
That's usually a good
indicator. It's an indicator that something's wrong. Yeah. So, I mean, it is an autoimmune disease, so I think. I mean, I feel like I've had it my entire life. Yeah. If you ask my parents, they're kind of like, oh, yeah, you were always the kid with a stomach issue. But it wasn't really until college it manifested, and stress is a huge trigger. So I think just graduating, sure. I had some things personally going on the year before that were really hard to deal with. So I think my body just couldn't handle it, and it reared its ugly head.
That's
and
crazy.
Here we are. So, yeah, it took 9 years for their surgery.
Crazy.
Because they insisted that, you know, oh, there's medication, and I'd be feeling good as you can on the medication with side effects, and then something would happen and I'd flare, and it's a terrible round of steroids.
Try again.
And then that medication, you go off the other medication, start something else. I did infusions at the hospitals. I did home injections on myself.
Jesus.
I tried vitamins, minerals, like all that stuff. I didn't go completely gluten-free, but they were like, oh, gluten in your diet or this, that, and the other thing. And it's just, it's not worth it. So, yeah.
Well, I'm
so
hoping you telling people coming out with it helps some. I'm dealing with somebody in my family that has a very similar situation. Yeah. So I'm hoping, hopefully, just, you know, you got to get checked out. And
yeah, it's,
the doctor's got, she's also relatively young. And
yeah, I mean, it was scary, but I mean, it wasn't cancer.
Sure.
So, and I knew I could live. It's been a rough year. you know, rough couple years. But, you know, when you start seeing blood in the toilet, it's kind of an indication that something's wrong.
Yeah.
So I hope people
know all about that.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So
thanks.
You're not alone, Casey.
But no, like you said, Jim. Like
Chicken Duck has taken a turn.
Wait till we get to Kevin.
But like you were saying, like, you know, when she first told me she had ulcerative colitis, I was like, what the fuck's that? I never even heard of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had heard of diverticulitis, but that's really the only thing I had heard. And that's because being a wrestling and UFC fan, Brock Lesnar had 12 inches. He had like 12 inches of an intestine removed when he fought in UFC. And like, you know, it was all this stuff. So I remember hearing about that in the news, but I had no clue about it, but the more research, it's actually way more common than I would ever thought it was, honestly.
Crazy.
Like with the even as her mom calls it, the Crohn's, but Crohn's disease.
So
apologies to Crohn's patients.
Between Crohn's
so they can both be pretty severe. I'm very thankful I have UC, and the only reason is because UC only affects the large intestine and your rectum. If you have Crohn's, it can affect anything from your mouth all the way down through your rectum, so your entire digestive tract. So for
affected
me,
how?
The inflammation, God. Pain, bleeding. Yeah, so for me, I only have the rectum and the large intestine that can get inflamed. So by removing my large intestine, you essentially cure colitis. I mean, I can still have issues, but... Whereas if you have Crohn's, you could have, right, so you could have like your large intestine.
This is the worst.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Happy 150th, everybody.
But yeah, so the
fucking insides are burning from the inside out.
Exactly, yeah. So God. Crohn's patients have a really hard awful. Time. So they'll be, you know, they could have, they end up, instead of having like their whole entire intestine removed, they have like snippets removed of like what's inflamed, and they're reconnected, and then they'll flare up again, and then they go until they can't
There's
really do that.
Left.
But it can go anywhere, so they could have issues in their esophagus, everything.
Aye.
So yeah, they both suck. It's a pain in the ass.
I'll say
for all both of them, but I'm thankful that I have ulcerative colitis and not Crohn's, because I've known a couple people that it's
sure
a nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and there's no cause that we know of, no cure. We just kind of manage the symptoms, yeah.
So, yeah, now we do a fundraiser for it.
Yeah, so
right on.
Spread the word.
So we will.
Say again when the fundraiser is?
Saturday, March 7th, 5:30 to 10 at the Temple Fire Company. Tickets are
$25. Probably next week from when this episode is.
Probably.
Yeah.
And, yeah, if you know of me and her on Facebook, or Facebook friends with us, you want tickets, reach out to us. We'll get you tickets.
Sure.
If you can't attend, like I said, I'll give you the link. There's a donation page. Thank you for your donation, Casey.
Yes, thank you. Any and all. You know, donations help. We greatly appreciate it. Like I said, it does more than what they tell people that they do. It's a really great organization, and I'm really blessed to have found them and to work with them. So
awesome.
I'd love to spread the word, and
we'll get it out there.
I'll definitely post the links and everything
so
people know about it. So,
do you want me to stop talking about shit now?
I was gonna say, we can let Kevin talk now. So,
the reason that I kind of
all day segmented just to talk about poop.
Nice. The reason I kind of brought Kevin along and with you guys is Kevin was diagnosed with. You want to talk about what you were diagnosed
multiple
with a few
sclerosis.
Years?
Multiple sclerosis.
A few years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
So you want to tell a little bit about that and what you've been going through?
Not near what you're going through right now, as far as physically and the amount of pain. I don't feel I can complain that much after hearing that story.
like I'm going to go upstairs, clean the whole house from top to bottom.
No, I was diagnosed a few years ago with
Don't
MS.
Sell yourself short. I have a friend from work, and it was a rough couple years for her.
Oh, she it is. It is. It's not fun, but I've learning to live with it and move along. But it's been interesting, to say the least. Like yours, it's an autoimmune disease. This attacks your nervous system. And there are four types of MS. The type that I have is remitting relapsing MS, where I'll have periods of I feel I'm fine, and then I'll relapse with new symptoms and stuff. And then once you have start symptoms, they stay with you. They don't go away. They don't get better. Fortunately, the medication that I'm on has been keeping any new symptoms at bay.
Oh, that's good.
So I have, there's some things that I deal with. Temperature change really gets me. spasms sometimes and uncontrollable muscle spasms. That's one of the things. Pain throughout, you know, my extremities, pain throughout my hands and legs. One of the hardest things I dealt with was feeling like I had to, I'd go to sleep, go to bed at night. I'd be tired, wiped out, but I'd lay there and my arms wouldn't get comfortable. You know, people say restless leg syndrome. Yeah. This was like restless arms. I felt like I had all this energy in my arms and I just couldn't fall asleep. And CBD, I found, helped me with that. That greatly helped that. So I've been taking CBD oil every night before I go to bed for about an hour, and an hour before I go to bed, and that seems to work. I sleep better than I've slept in years with that. But it's been interesting. It's been a, I don't know, roller coaster ride. Yeah.
How did you get diagnosed? Like, what was the, like he said, what symptoms have you had?
The spasms. Okay. That's what really started. My wife would make fun of me. She said, "You look like a marionette puppet," because my arms would, I'd get a chill and it would spasm muscles all through my shoulders and my neck, and my arms would fly. Now I've learned to control that a little bit. When I can feel a spasm coming on, and then I tense up, and my arms won't fly as much. But yeah, that's what noticed it. And I've had back injuries and surgeries through work that I used to do. And during an MRI, checking them on my spine, because I had some issues with my neck, doctor said to me, we did this MRI on your spine, on your neck, but we found an incidental. Oh, incidentally, we were looking for this, but incidentally, we saw this. And it was, they saw a spot on my brain, like a lesion on my brain at the top of my spine. Mm-hmm. And I was told to watch, you know, watch for symptoms.
Yep.
Yeah, watch, you know.
Thanks, Doc.
Yeah, watch for symptoms.
It's a dot in the back of your brain. I'll keep an eye on it, thanks. Yeah.
No, he told me to watch. They told me to watch for certain symptoms. Jesus. If you start dropping things, you know, you start having trouble balance, anything like that, anything really abnormal.
You start enjoying listening to Chicken Duck.
Yeah. One of the symptoms. But it was a few years. It was a few years later where these spasms started, and I went back to the doctor, and they sent me for an MRI, and those little lesions that were at the base of my, at the top of my spine, at the bottom of my brain, were now all the way, all the way around the front.
Like, so they there, moved, have, or you have them all over.
I have brain. I have lesions all through.
Wow.
And MS is what it is. I don't know if anybody knows. MS is, there's a myelin. There's a sheath around all your nerves, mm-hmm. and your brain. It's a protective fatty sheath, a coating. MS, autoimmune disease, your body attacks that sheath and destroys it. And what happens then is nerve signals sometimes get crossed, don't happen. You know, it just
random firing going on.
Yeah,
and shit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Wow. It's weird. It's interesting.
I feel like I should have brought donuts or something. It looks so depressed.
I was going to say, this turned
into take a lot more than donuts, Kim.
This is a really heavy
We've
episode.
We've got the
here.
Remedy, but not right now.
No. You know, there's all kinds of things that come with it, it's been an interesting ride.
So you weren't diagnosed until later in life.
Right, and when I was diagnosed, I was told I had it for a while. Just didn't know it. And a lot of things with my back issues that I have, I had two surgeries on my back, they told me some of those symptoms might have masked the MS and that I didn't.
You thought you were fixing it up and you were just kind of covering
it
up.
Yeah, some things that were MS that were showing itself could have thought were my back,
sure.
And not paying attention so much as it being a separate thing.
Mm.
So,
fuck if I don't have some fucking doctor's phone calls to make this week.
So was it like what Kim was saying about like the all the different types of pills and steroids, or like what are you taking a lot of different medications for that?
I'm on one medication. When I was diagnosed, fortunately the doctor that I went to, he's very good. MS is all he deals with, my neurologist, and he put me on a fairly new medication called Abagio, or teriflunomide is the actual medical term. I take one pill, one 14 milligram pill a day, every day. And so far, so good. No real new things happening, mm-hmm. new symptoms.
But you still have like the pain and
all my fingers, like
it's just not worse.
Yes, nothing's getting really worse. Like mm-hmm. I have numbness in the tips yeah. of my fingers, which is kind of fun to deal with.
Yeah, especially when your profession is a photographer, also.
But yeah, you know, it's things like that, and the pain and nerve thing and the spasms. They'll be with me.
If they would have diagnosed and started the medication that you're on now sooner, would it have stopped it from progressing? Or
What I can tell, and the studies on the medicine itself with other people, and as far as what I can tell with myself, I'm not getting any new.
It's just that's it.
Symptoms. So I haven't had any relapses.
It just hasn't gotten worse. Any progressive?
No, yeah, it hasn't gotten any worse.
Man, that's awesome that is. So yeah, that is fucking scary. All this stuff is scary.
And the only thing I have to do is I have to go for a blood test every 6 months to check my liver for the medication side mm-hmm. effects. And so far, it has no side effects on my liver. So
good.
So far, so good.
Steady as she goes.
Yeah.
Just one more thing to.
Yeah, because with the type of MS that I have. I have to watch out for what they said there were relapses, and that would be a real drop in and a progression of symptoms.
Right.
Like I would gain more symptoms right. with these relapses. So far, so good.
Very good. Yeah. Keep up the good work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was a heavy episode.
Seriously, man. You didn't tell me any of this was going to happen. Oh, man. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry for being so lighthearted, but we need that. Yeah. We need a little.
Gotta roll with it, like I said. There's only so much tears mm-hmm. you can cry.
It's the only thing that keeps me sane is humor. Yeah. So,
no, I wanted to mention that I have one of my sick boys, my two boys. I love them to death, but they're very twisted, which I'm very proud of. My oldest son this year for Christmas got me something I want to tell you about, which may help you. Is I had problems with my rear end. Like burning fire.
This is my favorite episode.
I want to know what problems you're having.
I'll show you the picture. You can tell me what you think.
No, this went on for me. It went on for over a year.
Never forget.
Old fissure face.
See, now I'm sitting here wondering what I walked into.
No, it went on for over a year. And no, it was painful and highly uncomfortable. I mean, yeah. Somebody else here can attest to that. But my son, this year for Christmas, bought me a bidet.
Oh, yeah. I had one.
It changed my life.
Yeah, they tried to get me to get one.
They're incredible.
I now have
Barbara made me take it off of the toilet so we could redo the bathroom, and I have to buy a new one.
And the fissure started after that, do you think?
She blames it on the bidet.
No.
How could that be?
Because she says that it's the dirtiest thing in the world, that she's like, you're just
I got nowhere to go.
Dirty water.
This has escalated into the most unbelievable hour I've ever spent. We've crossed.
Yeah, but days are awesome. I would definitely get another.
Change
one.
My
yeah.
life.
Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah,
between the squatty potty and the bidet.
Oh, you do the squatty potty too?
Oh yeah, change so, my life.
You gotta be
is
honest.
That the is that the little
yeah,
stool?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is the squatty potty?
So you poop like
you're squatting in the woods.
Oh, or like yeah, rather than when over you're a hole. Sitting. Like
it's like just a little stool that you put in at your feet.
Helps with the pressure. So it's like. I don't know. Something your insides. How you're not.
There'll
like,
be a diagram yeah. of it.
I'm learning so much.
And
today.
The bidet link we'll put over here. We're gonna have a squatty potty.
We're gonna have not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. Contact me if you'd like to. I need a bidet. Man, Ryan, do you have anything to contribute to this conversation before we?
I would like a bidet. I would like to
all
try.
Right. Well, you can. I'll let you when we get ours for the show. You can
just
use
put that
first.
Out there. We need sponsorship. Yeah. You know, bidets.
Bidets. Yeah. Each, everybody gets one bidet to share.
Six of us. You get it for
this episode's got nowhere left to go. I think I'm done here. Would you like to go?
No, Kevin. Where can people find you on Instagram?
On Instagram, Soul Imagery, Soul-Imagery. My website, soul-imagery.com.
Very good photographer, concert photographer, fine art images,
what
good stuff.
What did you say? Consummate?
Concert photographer.
Concert.
I heard that too. I
thought you were trying to reuse one of my words.
What kind of
are you
going to
put it up here?
Put
it up
yeah. I'll put it on that. I'll put a link. It'll probably be down here.
Concert photographer.
fine art photography. I do a lot of shows and stuff, but my thing is I have a studio in at the Goggle Works, and I do a lot of fine art conceptual photography,
nice.
Storytelling photography.
There's an episode, it wasn't on video, I don't remember exactly what number it was, do you?
No.
But you can go back and hear all about Kevin's photography.
Do you ask the guest to remember what episode it was?
Yes, it was episode 98.
My God, are you embarrassing to be around or what?
So we're not
going to
talk about your issues?
No. No, it'll all end up on the floor anyway.
Tune in next week, which is like three or four weeks.
It might be a month from now. Do you want to do your one more day? What's the date, time, location of your fundraiser?
Crohn's and Colitis annual fundraiser, the third annual. It's at Temple Fire Company in the Banquet Hall, March 7th, 5:30 to 10 p.m. $25 tickets. You can contact her or I for...
And we'll put the links all
yeah,
over.
Yeah, the link's up there to donate.
Very cool. Thank you very
yeah,
much.
Should
for
be a good time.
Sharing
thanks for having
everything.
Us. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Do you have a like? Do you have any kind of like flyer or
we
anything?
Do.
We do. I don't have it with me, but I do have
I
it.
I work in a gastroenterology place.
I can shoot you a flyer. Right on. I'll Facebook message you a copy of the flyer. So.
Tell your friends.
Oh, he's got to print his own out.
if he prints it at work, you don't have to worry about it.
I'm in my own office now. So.
We'll figure out the
details.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
I have my own office now with a color printer and everything. So.
You're set up.
Yeah. Off the rails.
So he's just here to listen to us talk about our shit?
Yep. Most of the time.
Yeah, I don't know. Cool. Yeah, it's not much I say. Especially if I do say anything, it really is nonsense.
Yeah, most of the time.
Most of the time, yeah.
So, well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks
thank
for
you.
You're welcome
for joining
yeah,
us.
Glad to be here.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming.
You bet. See you next week.
Join us next week.
Mike Boland will be here.
Is that? Oh, I didn't know what order we were doing anything in anymore.
Yeah, this was 150.
My life has gone completely out of off the rails. It's been emotional.
Goodbye.
hearts of darkness run cowering when you call on Jesus' name. Let not your hearts be troubled by cruel, unholy game. Though the spirit of fear come after us, we will never be the same. No demon gonna take my mind, I've given it to the Lord of Lords. No demon gonna take my mind, because I've given it to the Lord of Lords. Because I've given it to the Lord of Lords.